It's the first century, and the young Christian church is facing numerous obstacles. But it's determined to not only survive, but thrive. The Last Disciple and the Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. As you read The Last Disciple and The Last Sacrifice, you will be transported back in time when the ink was still fresh on the pages of Scripture. You'll take a front row seat in the arena as Christians face death with courage. And you'll be encouraged as John's words from Revelation give hope to the hopeless and life to those fleeing certain death. It will give you a clearer understanding of biblical prophecy as you experience history through the eyes of those who lived it. The Last Disciple and the Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Available individually or for a special package price. Call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. All this year, we are urging you, exhorting you to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. If you're following the Legacy Bible Reading Plan, you are probably getting very close to the book of Ecclesiastes. We read first Job this month, and then we read Ecclesiastes, and finally Song of Solomon. I finished Job, I'm in Ecclesiastes, and this is a profound book because it's written by King Solomon, who reigned at the height of Israel's glory. He was the wisest, the richest, the most influential king in the entire history of Israel. And his wisdom, as well as the glory of his kingdom, were world-renowned. If anyone had it all, it was Solomon. And yet he says that it is empty trying to be happy apart from God. He looks at all life under the sun, and from the human perspective, he says it is empty. Power, popularity, prestige, pleasure, nothing can fill the God-shaped void in the life of a human being. Only God can. So seen from God's perspective, life takes on meaning and purpose if you know God. Eat, drink, rejoice, do good, live joyfully, but fear God, keep His commandments, and then skepticism and despair will melt away because life will be viewed as a daily gift from God. Don't miss God's immortal words. He's speaking to you. Are you listening? We have a lot of resources to help you get into the Word of God, get the Word of God into you. Some will say, I just don't have time. But you have time to eat, you have time to sleep, you have time to comb your hair if you've got hair. It's not a matter of time, it's a matter of priority. And if you want to just listen to the Word of God. You can follow the listening plan while you're in your car. Get the Word of Promise. I mean, we live post-Gutenberg, and we have not only the written Word, we have the audio Word with sound effects and A-list actors voicing the characters so that the Bible jumps off the page and begins to transform you from the inside out. The audio Bible, the Word of Promise audio Bible, is available through the ministry. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And you can also write us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. First up today, Bill. He's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening on XM 170. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Hank.
How are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
Good. Nice to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you. I've been listening for about a year and a half, and I've really enjoyed the program.
Thank you.
My question is, I was wondering if you have a view on Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah, interesting. It was founded by Bill Wilson, and his vision was a fellowship of alcoholics dedicated to helping each other stay sober through a program that was open to all religions. Now, what's interesting is the 12 steps have their genesis in Christian principles, you know, conviction of sin and conversion and confession and prayer and witness and so forth, but they have been applied today in a pluralistic sense, in which any God can work. So if you're involved in the program, because the program ultimately is to help you with the addiction to alcohol, there are some points that you should remember. You don't want to call a behavioral problem a disease, which can lead to the sense of personal responsibility going down the drain. You have to recognize that this is personal responsibility. So sometimes when you just call a behavioral problem a disease, you can lessen the sense of personal responsibility. And again, you need to realize the root problem is sin, not societal conditions or growing up in a bad environment. Paul grew up in a bad environment, but instead of following or focusing on his past, he forgot what was behind, and he pressed on towards the goal, which is Jesus Christ. So there are a few points that you should remember along the way and recognize that if you have an addiction to alcohol, and if you are in that environment as a believer, you still have a responsibility to point people to the ultimate solution, which is sin that only a Savior can satisfy.
Okay.
Okay?
Just one quick question.
Sure. Yep.
What is your thoughts on the altar call and the sinner's prayer?
Well, I think that both are appropriate. In other words, to call someone forward to an altar to confess their sin and to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life is perfectly appropriate. It is perfectly appropriate as well to say the sinner's prayer, because in essence what you're saying is, I am a sinner, and I am praying that my Savior will become the sacrifice for my sin, because I can't be good enough to be acceptable to God on my own. So both are acceptable. In fact, both are axiomatic. We are to pray to God and say, God, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of my life.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for your
God
call.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it very much. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Marcus. He's listening in Portland, Oregon on KPDQ. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, Hank. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've been listening to the show for quite a while now, and I've learned so much from you, so I pray God's blessings on you.
Thank you.
My question is, what are your thoughts on Reformed theology, and in particular, Calvinism?
Well, Calvinism is acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy. And in fact, I've had quite a few good Calvinist mentors and friends, including my dad, who was a dyed-in-the-wool Calvinist. So, you know, if you look at Christianity, there are a wide range of views. Calvinism holds, for example, to circumstantial freedom or compatibilistic freedom. I don't happen to hold to that view. I hold to libertarian freedom. But this is a debate in which iron can sharpen iron and one man can strengthen another. I think in the debate, however, there are three things that we have to keep in mind. And that is the sovereignty of God, the justice of God, and genuine human culpability for sin. And as you debate this, those are things that must be foremost in your mind. Now, here's something that can be very helpful for you, Marcus. In the Christian Research Journal, we have a debate between a Calvinist and a non-Calvinist. And I would say not just any Calvinist and any non-Calvinist, but two who are premier with respect to their perspectives. And therefore, you can see how they engage one another in this debate, and you can then take what they say and test it in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good.
Okay, thanks.
Marcus. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Cyrus, listening on Bot Radio in Lawrence, Kansas. Hi, Cyrus.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a three-part question for you, and I'll try to make it short and sweet. But okay. I have recently been in a conversation at work, found out that a coworker was a Mormon, so I approached her about her faith and started asking her some questions. And I guess my questions are concerning what I've been learning. I've been trying to combat the Mormon faith with Scripture, and I've found that there are a lot of holes in it. But three points that I want to touch on here is, number one, from what I understand in Scripture and from what I understand in the Mormon faith, Mormons believe that Joseph Smith was a prophet in the 1800s. And my question concerning that is, from what I understand in Scripture, and I believe it's in John 16 and Hebrews, it seems to sound as if Scripture claims that John should have been the last prophet because he was the last one to prophesy about Jesus Christ, the Messiah coming. So would that be true, that there should have been no more prophets after John? And then my second question, part of the question is, they make a bold statement on their website, which I had been referred to, so I read about it. And they make a bold statement about if you pray to God about if the Book of Mormon is true, God will reveal these things to you. And I combated that with saying, you know, Scripture tells us.
Okay, I'm going to have to leave it at that. Cyrus, hang on the other side of the break, I'll pick up the third part of your question. I'll give you an answer. Very interesting question about a mission field on your own doorstep, the Mormons. We'll be right back with more.
Gutenberg rocked the medieval world with the invention of the printing press, and we're in the midst of a digital revolution for the Bible with Glow Bible Software. You'll experience the Bible as never before. With just a click of a button, walk the Holy Lands, view artwork depicting Bible stories, read articles related to topical issues, explore maps, follow study notes, and create your own reading plan. Glow is the Bible for a digital generation. And now you can order Glow from CRI by going to our website at equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with more of the show.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist.
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
Passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. We're able to fulfill that mission with our many outreach efforts between two offices, one in Charlotte, North Carolina, and another in Calgary, Canada. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? These monthly donors are the backbone of our financial support for our broadcasts, publications, and outreach activities. And when you partner with us, you'll receive special benefits such as specially selected resources to help you with your spiritual walk. To stand with these dedicated ministry partners, call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team or find out answers to your questions by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to Cyrus in Lawrence, Kansas. He was asking a couple of questions about Mormonism. And the first two questions had to do with Joseph Smith being a prophet. The second had to do with burning in the bosom. And your third question, Cyrus?
Well, I guess my third question is basically, from what I understand, is this coworker claims that she believes that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you know, basically can confirm with Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And she claims that she believes that. So my question is what is some scripture that I can point out to her that would talk about the consequences of believing in the Book of Mormon or another gospel?
Sure. Well, let's go through these questions quickly. First of all, as far as Joseph Smith being a true prophet, you got to remember that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was birthed in 1820 by a vision that he had. And in that vision, two celestial personages appeared to him, claiming all existing churches were wrong, all their creeds were an abomination, all their professors were corrupt, and that he had been called to restore, not reform, but restore a church that had disappeared from the face of the earth. Now, how did he do that? Well, from that vision, you have doctrines that compromise, confuse, or contradict the nature of God, the authority of Scripture, and the way of salvation. So is he a prophet? Well, yes, he's a false prophet because he contradicts what God has said. Now, with respect to your second question and the burning in the bosom, well, they are believing a book that flies in the face of history and evidence. So they're saying, look, forget the history and the evidence. I had a feeling. Our response should be, feelings are notoriously unreliable. Test your feeling, your burning in the bosom, and you will find that that is an unreliable feeling, because archaeology has demonstrated that the people and places chronicled in the Book of Mormon are simply false. As far as the person, your coworker, saying Jesus is Lord, I mean, the question is always this: scale the language barrier. What do you mean by saying Jesus is Lord? Because the Jesus that they profess is an altogether different Jesus from the Jesus we profess. We profess Jesus as the self-existent creator of all things. In Mormonism, he is the spirit brother of Lucifer, who was conceived in heaven by a celestial mother and then comes in flesh as the result of the Father having sex with a Virgin Mary. That's a different Jesus. It's a different gospel. And it is a prophet who has an odd predilection that is not rooted in history and evidence, while the Bible is. So when they say that the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book of on earth and the keystone to our religion, they're appealing to a false prophecy which was concocted by a false prophet.
Okay. All right, thank you. That makes a lot of sense.
You got it, and may your witnessing be fruitful and be done with gentleness and with respect.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Frank. He's listening on KKLA in Arcadia, California. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I've been listening to you for a while, so I had a question because I grew up since a teenager listening to Calvary Chapel. And I want to get the gist on, I'm probably going to order your books. I just want to get the name of it again, on the gist on the end times, the difference of what they believe in the rapture and how you believe. And I know they get a date and a season. They don't know when. He said only the Father knows. But more or less, when do you believe, when and if Jesus is coming back? And yeah, that's basically my question. I got a little bit more, but I think to get the most of it, I got to order your book, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and the book's called The Apocalypse Code. But
that's what it's called.
Yeah,
okay.
Certainly the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, is an issue that we can debate as believers. We can debate it vigorously. We ultimately do not have to divide over it. But in terms of a pre-tribulational rapture, what I point out in the Apocalypse Code, not only point out but document, that this is a relatively new idea in church history. Prior to the 19th century, all believers, futurists included, believed that the rapture / resurrection and the second coming were simultaneous events. So the whole notion that there's going to be a secret coming and then 7 years later a second coming and people being saved after the second coming and then a 1,000-year semi-golden age in which there's going to be a rebuilt temple with reinstituted temple sacrifices over which Jesus Christ will preside. And following, or at least at the end of this millennium, there's going to be a great outburst of evil. This is something that I don't hold to personally. Part of it is held to by certain people throughout church history, which is in terms of the millennium, although the idea that sacrifices are efficacious for sin, which is being taught rampantly in books that are promoted by all kinds of denominations today, is something that militates, if you draw it to its logical conclusion, against the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. That's a real big problem. But look, this is something we could debate vigorously, but I think at the end of the day, you've got to say, where's the beef? Where is this really taught in Scripture? And where do you see Jesus Christ coming down and then taking us up into heaven for 7 years? And then where do you see a second coming after the secret coming and people being saved and so forth? Where do you get this from? Well, the passages that are typically pointed to, like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is a great and glorious promise with respect to resurrection, which has unfortunately been taken and used to communicate the notion of a pre-tribulational rapture. Prior to the 19th century, I didn't see anybody doing that, only after the 19th century.
Hank, also, what I want to say is, you know, in Christian circles, they teach the rapture and then the second coming. But a lot of people in Christian circles believe the rapture and the second coming are the same thing. So that's what I mean. I want to get the gist of your second coming.
Yeah, that's exactly
so
right.
I'm going to order your book, and I need you to tell me what the name of it again.
Yeah, it's called The Apocalypse Code.
Apocalypse Code. Okay.
Hey, Frank, thanks for your call.
You know, God bless you.
And remember, in this debate, always do it with gentleness and with respect, and don't make it a separation point amongst brothers and sisters. I mean, this is a way in which we can look at the Scripture together and both grow. Both the person that's on the opposite side of the fence and you can find a way to grow in this debate.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you.
You got it. Thank you, my friend. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Bob in New Jersey, listening at WMCA. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you, Hank? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
My question is regarding the Trinity. I have two young children trying to teach them about the Trinity. I'm having a little bit of a tough time when, for example, when Jesus is on the cross, he seems to be speaking to his Father. You know, and I'm trying to explain this to my children.
Yeah, the way to do this is to explain what the Bible teaches, pure and simple. The Bible teaches that there's only one God. The Bible teaches that the Father is God. The Bible teaches that the Son is God. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God. And the Bible also teaches that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. Now, you can teach that to a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 5-year-old. There's only one God. Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Father never becomes the Son. The Son never becomes the Holy Spirit. Now, they're not going to completely comprehend that any more than you will, but you can apprehend it because that's what the Bible teaches, plain and simple. We're going to take a short break at this time. For those of you new to the broadcast, we're live Monday through Friday with half-hour and full-hour broadcasts across the United States and Canada. If you're leaving us now, you can catch the rest of the broadcast and listen to prior broadcasts on our website at equip.org. And those of you listening to our full hour show, don't touch that dial because we'll be right back.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologist Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they challenge the skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Worship led by Grammy Award-winning musician Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 7th and 8th in Tampa, Florida. For more information, visit us at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. If you're leaving us now, you can catch more of The Bible Answer Man on our website at equip.org. For everyone else, stay with us. We'll be back after this short break. Set sail for a week at sea with The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and The Word, this coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010.
The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Apart from the resurrection, there's little point of celebrating either Christmas or Easter. Are you able to explain the historical truth of the resurrection to skeptics? Well, this month, for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new Feet Flip Chart. Presented in memorable form, the Feet Flip Chart is a complete defense of Christ's death and resurrection. Don't delay. Request your copy today by going online to equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Now back to more of your questions and Hank Hanegraaff.
Want to mention before we go to our callers as well, the 2010 CRI National Conference Battle for the Bible takes place May 7th and 8th. It's in Tampa Bay, Florida, at the beautiful Innisbrook Resort. $49 per person, early registration for the conference. So register right away. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And by the way, this is an event for families. It's for you, your wife, and your children. If you're blessed with a wife and children, early registration again is available right now. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go to Victor, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Victor.
Hello, Hank. I have a, it might be a goofy question, but I just wanted to ask you, how much power or what is Satan capable of doing at this point in time? The reason I ask is because I'll hear some preachers talk as if Satan is almost just as powerful as God, and then I'll hear some preachers talk about how Satan has been defeated and there's no point in fearing Satan. So I just wanted to know, what is Satan capable of doing?
Yeah, great question. First of all, I like the prologue to your question because the scriptures tell us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So the scriptures put the emphasis in the right place. We put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes, which is to say that if you put on the full armor of God, what I call the covering, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you are a guaranteed casualty in spiritual warfare, but spiritual warfare is real. Paul says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. So it's critical to put on the full armor of God. But again, in the prologue to your question, you show a lot of wisdom, because Satan is a finite created being. He is the god of this age in that he is the supreme exemplar of evil. But he is accountable to God. He is, as has been well said, a lion on a leash, the length of which is determined by the Lord. So again, we can stand against his wiles by putting on the full armor of God. He is the de facto ruler of all who willingly subject themselves to his masterful deceit. So if you don't belong to the God of the ages, then we are of Satan, the god of this age. That's the bottom line.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that.
You got it, and I've written a book about this. It's a short little monarch. It's called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, and it teaches you how to put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the wiles of the evil one.
Okay, all right, The Covering.
Yes.
All right, well, I appreciate this. Thank you.
You got it, my friend. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Emma, listening on WCRV, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Emma.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Mr. Handegraff?
Yes.
I would like to know, where do the non-believer and the believer go after they die?
Yeah, well, Jesus kind of explained it, Emma, in Luke chapter 16. What happens upon death, Emma, is the soul departs the body. So we bury the body. The soul is either in torment away from the loving, gracious presence of the Lord, or the soul is in relationship to God, as described by a beggar lying by the gate of a rich man. And Jesus tells the story of how both died, and the beggar ends up in the presence of God, what is described by Jesus as Abraham's bosom or paradise. And Jesus was using Old Testament words to describe what it is like to be in the presence of God, the bliss and the joy and the comfort. Conversely, if you're not a believer, then you're in torment awaiting the final judgment. And that happens at the end of time. Jesus said this, Emma, "Do not be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." So what happens at the end of time is all who have died will be resurrected physically, and the soul in torment described by Jesus in Luke 16 will return to the body, and that human being will forever be separated from the loving kindness and goodness and presence of God. The believer, however, the soul returns to the body, and that body is resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, will live in a new heaven and a new earth with Jesus himself in bodily form, and will learn and grow and develop for all eternity as we explore not only the glory and grandeur of what God has created, but the glory and grandeur of God himself.
Well, thank you.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it do. Very much.
Okay.
Okay, and may God richly bless you, your family, and the CRI family.
Oh, thank you so much, Emma.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you for those wonderful words. And we do appreciate everyone listening to my voice praying for this ministry. We're a ministry that survives as a result of a team standing with us prayerfully and financially. It's one thing to win a basketball game. It's quite another to win a person by presenting the grace and love that Jesus Christ alone can bring to the human heart. This ministry is bearing abundant, abiding fruit, but it's not because of me. It's not because of the team in-house. It's because of me, a team in-house, and you. Together, we form a garland of grace being used by the Almighty God in the transformation of lives. You just cannot imagine how glorious it is to see people come out of the kingdom of the cults into a relationship with Jesus Christ for time and for eternity. People coming out of world religions, Islam, Buddhism, even Zen Buddhism, which is so popular in the United States, Hinduism, Wicca, people coming to embrace Jesus Christ out of Mormonism or the Watchtower Society, people experiencing the genuine reality of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life, the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, residing within their being and having the absolute certain assurance that they will live with Him for all eternity. What an incredible mission we are engaged in together. But again, it's a mission that requires missionaries like you to pray for this ministry. And if God has given you resources to support this ministry financially, we have taken a huge step of faith. We believe that there is no safer place than in a leap of faith. And so we ask you to take that leap with us, to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, want to mention the national conference, Battle for the Bible. It's CRI's national conference for 2010. It's in Tampa Bay, Florida, May 7th through the 8th. Again, if you want to sign up, this is the perfect time to do it, because early registration for the conference begins at the incredibly low rate of just $49 a person, special activities for the whole family. And after the conference, we're also going to be taking off on a cruise. You may want to look into both of them. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also call about the conference, 877-768-2784, extension 100. If you didn't get that, check it out on the World Wide Web, or just talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. Again, for your gift to the ministry, we have a special resource we want to send out to you as our way of saying thank you. Stand with us prayerfully and financially. Make a difference for time and for eternity. I'll be right back.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for seven packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Hank will teach daily on the inerrancy of God's Word, the relationship of the Bible and tradition, and the application of Scripture to today's most pressing issues. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back, so don't go away.
Is the Antichrist alive today?
Will the temple be rebuilt?
Are we living in the tribulation?
What is the mark of the beast?
Is Armageddon just around the corner? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the secret to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in Scripture interpretation. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
The resurrection is not merely important to the Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity.
Human history was changed forever by what happened on that third day. The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff defends the resurrection of Jesus Christ in meticulous detail. It contains authentic evidence and factual proof for the resurrection, from Christ's torment on the cross to the empty tomb to his appearances and transformation. If you need tangible proof that the Christian faith is based on evidence and not mere emotion, this resource will be an immense help to you.
Belief in the resurrection is not a blind leap into the dark, but faith founded on fact.
The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff, available in hardbound or CD. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. 888-7000-CRI. Find out more by going to our website at www.equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God? What is truth? Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. And now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers, talk to Martha in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Martha.
Hi. Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call today.
Pleasure.
My question to you is, I've been listening to you for maybe 3 or 4 months on the radio on my way from work, and I've heard you talk before about essential Christian doctrine, and my question is, I'd like to know, what do you mean by that, and then how do I know that my church, actually the one I go to, is actually preaching essential Christian doctrine, because you know nowadays there's so many different denominations out there.
Yes, and denominations are divided on secondary issues. Eschatology or ecclesiology, which means church order, these kinds of things separate, and they're secondary issues. So they don't separate us as brothers and sisters in the Lord, but certainly separate us from the standpoint of denominations.
Mm-hmm.
But essential Christian doctrine is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. And these are the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. And one of the things I did, Martha, is I developed a memorable keys to essential Christian doctrine flip chart, which gives you not only what essential Christian doctrine is, but it gives it to you in a memorable format, because I have the essentials codified around the word doctrine. So the deity, for example, of Jesus Christ is the first letter of doctrine, deity. And it reminds you that Jesus Christ asked the mother of all questions when he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Of course, a Mormon is going to answer that and say, "Well, you're the spirit brother of Lucifer." Someone in the Watchtower organization will say, "Well, you were created as the Archangel Michael, and during your earthly sojourn, you were a mere man." a metaphysical practitioner today, you know, involved in New Thought metaphysics or the New Age movement, is going to say, Jesus, you are an avatar or a messenger. But a Christian says, no, you're the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. You're the creator of all things and the one who died so that I might be restored to right relationship with you. So this gives you the essentials of the Christian faith, and in a memorable format, and not only what you believe, but why you believe it. For example, why do I believe that Jesus Christ is divine? In the flip chart, I point out that Jesus is divine because the Bible says he's divine, and we can prove that the Bible's divine rather than merely human in origin. Jesus said he was divine, and then his credentials back up his claim to being the divine Son of God.
Okay. Because, yeah, I agree with that, and that's what our church preaches too.
Yeah.
Just exactly what you had said.
Yeah, and again, we have the doctrine of original sin, the canon of Scripture, Trinity, resurrection, incarnation, new creation, and eschatology in the sense that we all believe as Christians that Jesus Christ is going to come back to put all things to right. So I have the essentials codified around essential Christian doctrine and the little flip chart available through the ministry.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much,
Martha. God bless
Martha.
Your ministry. It has helped me a lot. It has helped me a lot, and I've learned a lot from just this 3-4 months I've been listening to you. And I do have more questions to ask you, but I know there's others waiting too. So.
Well, you are a dear, and thank you so much for calling, Martha.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Back to the phone lines. Brandon, next, listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I've got a question. I've been reading through the Bible from front to back, and I'm 3/4 of the way through Job. And I'm just getting lost in the poetry, I guess. And I guess I just want to make sure I'm on the right, I guess, thought pattern here. You know, obviously God sees Job as a very righteous man. He said it twice, and even the writer, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said he was blameless as well. And Job's friends, in essence, I'm getting across that they believe that he is guilty of sin and keep trying to convince him that he is guilty of sin,
yes.
And yet Job states that he's not. And he's also, he seems to even be looking inwardly, too, to make sure he is, to make sure he isn't in sin. I just want to know if I'm getting that right, because I'm kind of getting lost in a lot of the poetry here with, I mean, this vivid language, and it's just kind of losing me a little bit, but I'm just wanting to make sure I'm getting the gist of what has been written.
Yeah, you are. You're absolutely correct. Job was selected as the subject for a stern test of faith, because he is called, as you correctly said, the greatest man of faith alive. So God said that Job's faith was real faith, and Satan claimed that Job's faith was fickle faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a test, in essence, a test of faith, which Job ends up passing with flying colors. And as you read through the poetic structure, you see exactly what you've already alluded to. Rather than cursing God, as his wife goaded him to do, or blaming his tragedy on secret sin, as his cruel friends urged him to do, Job placed his fate in the hands of a God who is both infinitely just and infinitely merciful. And, of course, the book of Job does build an airtight defense for Job's faith. Not that he was not a sinner, but that he was a true man of faith who cherished his faith even above his life, and ends up saying, if you haven't got to this already, but in Job 19, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And there is a problem with Job, of course, and God actually addresses that problem. When you get to the end of the book of Job, you will see that Job makes a big mistake because he wants to know why. And all of us are Jobs in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
When we lost a preborn child, baby Grace, I mean, the first question that comes into your mind is why? And God doesn't answer the why question. And this is one thing you learn in the book of Job. Job asks why, and God says, Job, you don't even know how I create a tiny drop of dew. How can you understand what's going on in the heavenlies? So God doesn't answer the why question, but he teaches Job to trust him in the midst of his whys. And we're in much the same condition. We don't have an answer to many of the whys, but we do know that God is trustworthy because God has revealed enough about himself so that we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we can trust him in the midst of our whys. And of course, in essence, Job's legacy teaches us that the solution to our disappointments is found in trusting God.
Mm-hmm. He seems to allude even ask why early on almost. I mean, he doesn't come out right out and say it, but it seems even early on, his first lament, he almost seems to be asking that in essence, you know, why? And like you said, I haven't gotten to the very end yet. And where he does ask that, and the Lord, you know, obviously states what you just stated. But it seems like even early on, he's almost asking why, in essence, you know, after he was stricken physically.
Right. Right. And the whole idea here that you get is that true faith does not necessarily equip you to arise from a wheelchair or to deal with the very difficult circumstances of life, but rather prepares us to use adversity as a means of bringing men and women into the kingdom. So the real tragedy is not dying young or suffering as Job did. The real tragedy is living a long, robust life and failing to use it for the glory of God. One day, health and wealth will not matter. All that will concern us is for Jesus Christ to turn and say, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." So true faith means living with our sights not fixed on mean earthly vanities, but rather eternal verities. We will be with our Redeemer. Our Redeemer will stand upon the face of the earth, and we will see him in his glory.
Yeah. Yes.
It is a great and glorious book, and I'm glad you're reading it, Brandon.
Well, it's good. It's been good for me. Do you have time for one more quick question?
Well,
you need to get going.
I'm out of time for this edition.
Okay.
So I've just got a few seconds left to close the show. Otherwise, I'd love to talk to you. But thank you so much.
I'll call back later. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Brendan. God bless you. And we want to thank everybody for tuning into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air. When you dial 888-ASK-HANK, and many of your questions answered in resources like the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. By the way, you can get a personalized copy for a family member, a friend, or for yourself for $100 or more, which goes to furthering this ministry as it circles the globe. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. For your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.